kind of feel like that somehow you had something to do with learning this. And in reality, if God had not put His Spirit in me some 60 years ago, I couldn't understand any of this. And one of the things that you have to get used to, and you only get used to it if you understand, that as you go along and you study the Bible, and you learn things about the Lord, and you learn things from His Word about yourself, and about everything around you that goes on in your life, you tend to get to the point where you say, I can't understand anybody who doesn't receive Christ as their Savior. You say, I just can't understand why they don't accept Him as the Messiah, as the one who died on the cross for their sins. And you say, I just simply can't understand it. Well, the only reason that you understand it is because God's Holy Spirit led you to Him, led you to Christ, led you to repentance, and you repented and received Christ as your Savior. In the end, when this is all over and we're in heaven with the Lord, it may truly be said that all honor and glory belong to the Lord, all of it. I'd like to tell you that that I was instrumental in some way in saving myself, but all I did was turn to God and ask Jesus Christ to save me. And I have to say honestly and truthfully, without reservation and hesitation, that I am saved truly by grace through faith. And I owe Him everything, and He owes me nothing. The book of John is a book that brings an awful lot out about spiritual things, and it runs an awful lot of contrasts in it. And we've been talking about an exposition of it. We've been going through it line by line, verse by verse. And when you really look at this, it's staggering. In the beginning was the Word, capitalized, the Logos, the Son of God, the living Word. And the Word, the Logos, the Son of God, was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus was God. He said He was God. He said, I and the Father are one. Paul said, in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's my Savior. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Now, for someone that's lost, that's very difficult to grasp. And even for us that are saved, we can't completely understand this. But the one thing I can understand is, that's my Savior. That's who lives in me. That's who saved me. That's who I've been placed in by the new birth. That's who's been placed in me. And so when I grasp that and I understand it and I accept it and I act on it, I don't have anything to worry about. I don't have anything to fear. I don't have any future worries of torture, death, anything. Because that's my Savior. Now, when you jump down to verse 10, He was in the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. Because from the time that man sinned in the garden, man entered into spiritual darkness, spiritual separation from God. Adam and Eve were in fellowship with God. It was a marvelous and wonderful time like no man has ever known. But when they sinned, spiritual darkness came upon them, and they were scared to death of God, and they ran and they hid from Him, and we've been trying to hide from Him ever since. And even the world and everything in it that made Him was in spiritual darkness. And the world didn't know Him, and certainly His creations in it didn't know Him. He came unto His own, to His own people, and His own received Him not. And the Word was made flesh, verse 14. God was made a flesh and blood, sinless man, by His own Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary, and came forth as the living God in whom all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily. And He was among us. And He walked with the disciples, and they beheld Him. They saw God. God is a spirit, but they saw the manifestation of the God in Jesus Christ. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. There never have been two plans of salvation. There never has been a plan of animal sacrifice under the law and keeping the Ten Commandments of God. There never has been a plan of salvation other than one. It has always been the same. From the very beginning in the Garden of Eden, those who came to Christ, those who believed that the seed that was promised to Adam and Eve, who would one day step on the serpent's head and crush his power, who believed that the Messiah would one day come and save them, they were saved by the same gracious and merciful God that I'm saved by. The law was given by Moses, and the law was to teach us how sinful we are, how we cannot love the Lord our God with all our heart and all our mind and all our might and all our soul, and our neighbor as ourselves. When the grace of God that gave the law revealed to us how sinful we are, how incapable we are of living up to a standard of righteousness that only God himself could fulfill, then it drives us in desperation to put our faith in the only man who ever lived, who kept the law, every jot and tittle of it, and a man who measured up to the standard of God's righteousness, the man Christ Jesus. And it's because of this man, and because of what he did, that I, by receiving him as my Savior, have eternal life, an eternal promise of God, an imputed righteousness that was given to me by grace through faith. Micah 5:2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, Christ born in a manger in Bethlehem, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel. And he came forth, and he dwelt among them, and his own people received him not. They would not accept him as ruler. They had no excuse, because his goings forth had been from old, from everlasting, from the very beginning in Genesis 3:15, when the seed was promised, and when the seed was to crush the head of the serpent, the power of Satan, and in so doing was to have his own heel bruised, as Isaiah said, all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. They had no excuse. And none of us have any excuse today. We have absolutely no excuse for rejecting the Messiah of Almighty God. Salvation has always been by grace. It has never been by works. It has never been by the law. It has never been by any other way than by faith in Jesus Christ. He was promised from the very beginning. They rejected him as ruler. They had no excuse. He came into his own, and his own received him not. Even their great prophet, Moses, whom the Jews esteemed so highly, in Deuteronomy 18, 18, and 19, he said, I will raise up a prophet from among their brethren. He capitalized it with a P. Jesus Christ is the great prophet, the great high priest, the King of Israel, the Lord of lords, King of kings, God of gods. I will raise up to them a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth. Every word that Jesus Christ ever spoke was the word of God spoken to man. He never spoke a word in all his existence that was not directly from God. Everything the man ever said was God directed. God put his words in his mouth. And from the very birth and childhood, he never spoke anything that was any way to be interpreted as alien to the purpose of God in his life. And he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And he did. And he came, and he spoke the word of God. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. Those who do not receive his word, those who do not believe his word, that he was of the Father, that he was from the Father, that he was the living Son of God, that he was the sacrifice that was to pay the price for all sin, all of those who do not receive him and his everlasting life that he offers, it is indeed required of him. And everyone that ends up in an eternal lake of fire, from the very first occurrence in Genesis 3:15, will be there because they would not receive the promise that God gave of deliverance from our Adamic nature by the power of God that is in Christ Jesus. The law has never been any way associated with salvation. It has always been to lead us to salvation. And the only one that can give salvation, and there is no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. Verse 22, Luke 16:22-23. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was burdened. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Now, Lazarus didn't go to heaven because he was a poor man. And the rich man didn't go to hell because he was a rich man. They went to hell because of a choice and a decision they made in life. They didn't go there because of their social status. They didn't go there because of money or the lack of money. They went there because of a choice they made. He doesn't talk a lot about it in this particular parable, and it's more than a parable because a proper name is used, and that well, there was a certain rich man. And these are two very real people. I know one time John Penn was teaching in class, and he had been talking to some Jehovah's Witnesses about this. And the Jehovah's Witnesses were giving him down the river. They said, it's a parable, it's a parable, it's a parable. It's teaching. They aren't real people. And the argument raged back and forth because this is the only parable where a specific name is mentioned. In this case, Lazarus. And this was a real man, Lazarus, and this was a certain real rich man. But finally, after the argument had raged on for about 2 hours, finally John Penn looked at the two Jehovah's Witnesses and he said, all right, it's a parable. He said, they both smiled. He said, now what does it teach? And it teaches there's a hell. It teaches that there was a place called Abraham's bosom. And it taught that some people went to hell and some people went into Abraham's bosom. They go there, not because of their social status, but because of a choice they make in life, because of whether or not they believe that he was the one. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, and the Word was made flesh. God came in flesh as a man and dwelt among us. They beheld him, the disciples saw him, the glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. They saw him transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration. They saw him shining with the Shekinah glory of God. Now, the law was given by Moses. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, then he said. Now, what he said is very interesting. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. He was in hell. There are a lot of people in hell today. And there will be a lot more people in hell. You don't lose your human compassion in hell. You just lose your soul to eternal damnation. And this man still had a love. A relationship of the flesh that he had held with his brethren. And he knew his brethren were going to join him there. And he didn't want their company. There are a lot of my kinfolks that are in hell. And I assure you, they don't want their children there with them. They don't want their relatives and their friends there with them. And so this man had an agonizing desire that someone would go to his father's house. He's still in hell, had a human passion and compassion. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. You're not going to lose your human compassion. You're not going to lose your desires in hell. And what a horrible thought to think that while you're in hell, and all those souls that are in hell right now, you know what they're waiting for? To come before a great white throne of judgment. To be told their name is not written in the book of life. And to be cast into a place that is eternal, where there is no hope of any future change, and they will burn in hell forever and ever. And yet they have made the choice. They have decided this destiny for themselves. So notice what Abraham told this rich man. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. They had the Old Testament. They've always had Christ. They've always had the promise of a Messiah. But they didn't believe. God's Holy Spirit is omnipresent. Somehow, in our society, down through the years, it's almost developed that the Holy Spirit doesn't work on anybody. He works on everybody. And believe me, if my brother ends up in hell, as much as I care for my brother with my human compassion, he's going to deserve to be there. And if any of you end up in hell and end up in an eternal lake of fire, you're going to deserve every moment that you're there, and you will never lose the awareness that you didn't have to be there. It isn't the burning fire and the sensation and agony that comes with physical pain. It's going to be the terror of hell or the terror of the lake of fire. The horror and fear of it is going to be not the actual physical pain, which will certainly be intense, but the awareness that you did not have to be there. And forever you will be there, simply because you would not put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. He said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Now look at the rich man's reply. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Well, one came as a man, as God incarnate in human flesh. And the scripture says that God was in him reconciling the world to himself. And he came, manifested his life on this earth, performed miracles, raised the dead, turned water into wine. Over and over again, performed miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. And then willfully and purposely let himself be arrested, condemned, crucified, and then rose from the dead. And there were over 500 witnesses to all this. And he did rise from the dead. He said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Now notice what Abraham said. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, don't think they got a raw deal in the Old Testament. They didn't. If they had listened to Moses and the prophets and had heeded the fact that there was a Messiah and he was coming to deliver Israel, they could have been persuaded just as well as we have been. Neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. John 3:14-19. Would you believe that when they were bitten by fiery serpents, red serpents, in the Negev, the nation of Israel, and they were dying like flies from the snake bites, and Moses put a serpent up made of bronze, brass, and he put it up on a pole, would you believe that they not all of them came? Would you believe that a lot of them wouldn't come to that and be healed? Because they didn't believe it. You see, it's always been the same. Some are going to believe and some aren't. It may be your son that doesn't believe, and it's a great burden to your heart. It may be your mother that doesn't believe, and that's a great burden to your heart. It may be your father. That's a great burden to your heart. Tell me about it. I know about the burden. But this goes far past flesh and blood. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. 71 years ago, I was formed in the womb of Bly Elaine McElmurray, a product of the seed of my father and mother. I came forth with my father's hands, my mother's disposition, my dad's nose, my mother's ears. I got my flesh and blood from them. It was transferred. But my soul came from God. My soul is related spiritually, not to them. Each soul is a compact, independent unit, and it makes its own choice where it's going to spend eternity. My flesh and blood will pass and rot away. I'll be changed at the rapture instantly. But everyone has to make a choice. There these people were, bitten by fire serpents, and Moses puts up this serpent in the wilderness. And some of them would not come because they did not believe they would be healed by looking upon that serpent. Well, he told the rich man, he said, if someone's resurrected from the dead, they won't believe. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He's been lifted up on a cross. He's been resurrected from the dead, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And they will not come to him and look upon that cross. I'll never forget the night I got saved. Never. Forever. I don't think I'll ever forget it in heaven. I had tried for 4 years. You've heard me give my testimony many times. I won't bore you with it again. I had tried many times to please God. God knows I tried. And I continually failed. Finally, that night, for the first time in my mind and in my heart, by the Holy Spirit, there came in my heart an awareness and an image inside me of one lone, single, solitary man hanging there on that cross with nails in his feet and hands and a crown of thorns on his head, beaten beyond recognition. And it hit me that he had died and endured that for me, and that he was alive. And I asked him, believing he was alive, to save my soul. I'm absolutely positive he did. Now everybody has that opportunity. It's not God's will that anybody should perish. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Some do, and some don't. And when you have accepted what the Holy Spirit lays in your heart of him alive and dying for your sins, and you begin to study God's word, and you begin to be more and more enlightened, then more and more you say, I can't understand how anybody can't see this. But I had 4 years, and I couldn't see it. But finally, by the grace of God and his Holy Spirit, my heart was enlightened, and I received Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That was Christ's purpose. They wouldn't come and look upon a serpent that God told Moses to make. And they died. They perished because they didn't believe what Moses told them God had done. And do you know what those same people did with that serpent? Instead of doing away with it, they carried it into the Holy Land. And once they got it in the Holy Land and the temple was built, they took it and called it Nephilim, and worshipped it. They worshipped the very thing that God had given them to heal them, and they worshipped it rather than the living God who had given it to them. People like to worship what they can see, taste, touch, and feel, but they don't like a spiritual concept. That man lived. That man died. He suffered and bled for me. If you go to hell, it's because you didn't receive him. It's because you wouldn't trust him, because you wouldn't believe. And he has risen from the dead. The rich man was wrong, and Abraham was right, because most of the world today does not have their faith in him, but in themselves are a million other things. He that believeth on him is not condemned. I'm not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. And this is the condemnation. Here's the condemnation, right here. This is why people go to hell. This is why people are cast into a lake of fire. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Adam and Eve ran and hid from him. People today are doing the same thing. They're trying to hide from the cross and hide from the agony and the pain that was suffered for them at Calvary, and they're hiding from the light because they're afraid to come out and stand before God and trust in the one he sent to save them from what they're so all-fired afraid of. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him as not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. See this word right here? Become. It's an interesting word. It's geneia. You know what the same word, what it means? It means to be born. That's what it means. To be born. To come into existence. The same identical word right here. You'll find in 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again, same identical word, born again is translated. Being born again, not of corruptible seed. I was born by the corruptible seed of my mother and father, 71 years ago. But some 60 years ago, I received Christ. And I became a spiritual son of Almighty God by grace through faith. Being born again, not of corruptible, but of incorruptible seed. By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That's what that word became. To them gave he power to be born as the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. It was God's will that I be saved. It was God's choice that I be saved. And when I received Christ, I accepted the choice that God had made for me. Neither is there salvation in any other name, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm so thankful to God that I mean this from my heart to him. I'm so thankful to God that I was saved by the man whose name is Jesus Christ. I'm very thankful to God that I am saved by him, that I am kept by him, maintained by him, justified by him, and stand before God as one of his children because I am a brother of this man, Christ Jesus, who gave his life for me, covered me with his blood, took my sins in his own body on the tree. And here's the only reason I'm going to heaven. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I called upon Jesus Christ. My faith is in him. It's not in my works. It's not in my church membership. It's not in my baptism. It's not in my ability to maintain a certain standard of righteousness. Do I try to do right? Yes. Do I try to live a Christian life? Yes. Do I accomplish it and do I live as good as God lives? No. But what do I do? If we are faithful and just to confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I daily confess my sins. I confess them moment by moment. I am still a sinner in the flesh, but I will always be a sinner in the flesh until this flesh is either changed at the rapture or until my soul leaves this body. I'm looking forward to death. I never thought I'd say that. I never thought I'd say it and mean it. I'm looking forward to death. You say, well, Brother Michael Murray, I bet when you get over there in the hospital and you're breathing your last breath and all your kids are over there and they're all crying and weeping, you'll wish you could stay a while longer. No, not at all. My carnal man may get fidgety and nervous, but I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Right here, right now, this morning, where you're sitting, can you honestly say, if I die today, I'm going to heaven? I can say it because my righteousness is not dependent upon my works. It's dependent upon the works of a man who died, but who's been made alive, who's been justified fully before his heavenly Father, and is the only Savior there is. You don't have to leave here this morning without him. You may have come in here without him, but you don't have to go out of here without him. He's as close as a prayer. Do you believe that Christ came and suffered and bled and died for you personally on the cross as a sinner? You believe he's your only hope? You believe he's alive? Then have enough faith to ask him to save you. Where's your heart? Some of you here are saved. Been saved a long time. But you've never put your life in a local visible body and served the Lord. This is one of his local visible bodies. We teach and preach the truth here. Once delivered to the saints, we are a New Testament church. If you're saved and you've never been baptized, all I can do is implore you. God forbid that I should lure you into it, and God forbid that you should do it for me. But if God's Spirit that saved you is dealing with you this morning, you let him have his way in your heart when he saved you. Let him have his way when he tries to lead you. As the song leader and the musical accompanist come, as the lights are turned on, I preach to you God's word. The rest of it's a personal matter between your spirit and his spirit. If he's dealing with you, don't let anything stop you from coming. Because nobody ever loved you like he loves you. And nobody ever wanted the very best for you like he wants for you. Let him have his way this morning. What number?